So you're asking a question, because Madhurika Dambini says that bhakti appears in the internal and external senses of the devotee. Basic principle is that what's being discussed is that bhakti is independent. Bhakti is not dependent on anything, just like Krishna. By his own sweet will, Krishna appears in the Yadu dynasty or in the Raghuvamsa. He appears in the Yadu dynasty as Yadava, Yadava Krishna. And he appears in the Raghuvamsa as Ramchandra. So bhakti appears on our own, by our own sweet will. And the internal senses means the mind. The mind is sometimes called the sixth sense, the mind. There's the five senses. Actually, there's 11 senses. There's five knowledge-acquiring senses, Gyanendriya. And then there's Karmendriya. Five knowledge-acquiring senses, ears, nose, mouth, etc. And five Karmendriya, or the active senses. So that's 10, and the mind is 11. So that's 11. Generally, they say there's 11 senses like this. But the bhakti appears in the senses, external senses, means that all the external senses become activated and involved with serving Krishna. The eyes are seeing Krishna, and the nose is smelling Krishna's garlands, and the hands are touching Krishna's temple, and all the external senses, like Amrish Maharaj, engage all of his senses and all of his limbs of his body, beginning with his mind, in Krishna's service. So these are the external senses, the organs of perception, interacting with the world. When one becomes a devotee, now the Maya is situated. Maya is situated in the senses and external, internal senses. One is using his external senses for the service of Maya, and using the internal sense for Maya Seva. But when devotion comes to one's heart, then the devotee uses his external senses for the service of Krishna, and his internal senses for the service of Krishna. So the internal sense is basically the mind. And then you can consider in this you can say the intelligence also. External, internal senses. And another way to look at it is that, in other words, subtle body, mind, intelligence, ego, you could say those are internal senses, if that's the term. But another way to look at it is that in the beginning, when a devotee takes up devotion, bhakti manifests in the external senses because he's engaging his body in devotional service. And you can say his mind and intelligence are also external senses because they're part of the body, which is external and external and extraneous to the Atman, to the soul. But the soul has its own sarup, nitya sarup, sarup siddhi, perfect spiritual body. So at the higher level of bhakti, when one is in prema bhakti, then he receives, or even before that, in bhava bhakti, one receives full revelation of their siddhadeha, their perfect spiritual body. And the perfect spiritual body also has senses. So those senses are the ultimate internal senses, means the senses of the soul. So bhakti manifests in the external senses of this body, which includes the mind at one level. And that's the beginning of bhakti. Adho shara tatasara sangha bhajana kriya nartha nivritti. Shravanam kirtan vishnu smaranam. And then as one progresses, then bhakti transforms. Bhakti dissolves the subtle body, and bhakti dissolves the gross body. And what manifests within is the internal body, the internal antas chinta deha, the deha conceived within the consciousness, the internal spiritual body, sarup siddhi. And bhakti manifests there also, and that's pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, prema bhakti. And those are the real senses. The internal senses means the senses of the internal body, and the internal body is the spirit soul. Sarup siddhi, the perfect siddhadeha. Because in the spiritual body we have our eyes, we have our nose and mind, everything, but it's all totally transcendental, totally spiritual, and every movement of all the senses of the spiritual body are engaged in the service and pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So this is what it means that bhakti manifests in the external and internal senses of the devotee in a free and independent way, just like Krishna manifests in a free and independent way. You're saying that bhakti is independent, but bhakti comes from the bhakta, the devotee. Because the very title of this entry here will indicate the answer to your question. Krishna turns his mercy-giving potency over to his devotees. So Krishna has so many shaktis. Just like, for example, I may have a factory, and I put you in charge of payroll. So I say here, this is $3 million, and you give this out to the workers. So now who's giving the workers the money? I'm giving them, or you're giving? Ultimately, I'm giving. Mm-hmm. But it's my money, but you're giving it out. And so many of the workers will think, well, you're giving them the money. They did something in the factory, and you're paying them. So it's like that. The mercy, as it says here, Krishna, the Kripa Shakti Murti, Krishna has unlimited shaktis. One of the shaktis is Kripa, and it takes a form. Guru is Krishna. Guru is Krishna. Acharya Mam Vijaniyam, it says Guru is Krishna. Krishna says Acharya is me. So it's not that Krishna is not giving it, but Krishna is giving it the mercy through his form as Guru. He's the form of mercy. And that mercy is expressed in giving the distribution of bhakti. Bhakti Kripa is one potency, and bhakti inspires a pure devotee to distribute his mercy, which means bhakti, teaching, knowledge, whatever. So now the second point about partiality, because Krishna says in the Gita, I am equal to all, samaham sarbhuteshu name dresyat stiya priha. He says in the ninth chapter, I am equal to all. But at the same time, I especially favor those who are under devotion. So this is a contradiction. This is your partiality. So that seems like a flaw. He's saying he's impartial to everyone, but he's partial to his devotees. It's a contradiction, but it's not a contradiction because he's a person. Ye tamam prapadyante, if you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So if you are too much interested in me, then naturally I'll return some by showing interest in you. So some people may consider his partiality a flaw, but it's not so with a devotee. Right? A devotee does not consider it a flaw. He doesn't consider it a dosh, he considers it a bhushanam. Dosh means fault, dosh. But bhushanam means ornament. It's one of the ornaments of God. It actually decorates him and it distinguishes his individuality, that he's a supreme individual. He's above and beyond all the laws of cause and effect. And love is the highest law. So love above mercy, above justice, love above power. So Krishna's love, that's his partiality, is an expression of his love for a devotee. Devotee means lover. A bhakta, someone who's showing love. So naturally, a mother likes all children and she cares for all children, but her own children she cares more for. It's natural partiality. We have partiality is a quality of us. So if we deny that in God, then he's less than us. How can the absolute be less than the parts? How can the source be less than the parts, or the creations be less than the creator? I mean, more than the Creator. So this is a bhushanam. This is his wonderful. And this is our good fortune, because he takes special care of the devotees. I preserve what they lack and carry what they have. Ananyas chintiyanto mam ye jana paripashyate te shanditya bhyuktanam yogakshimam bahamyam. Those who are ananya bhaktas, fully dedicated to me, then I make all arrangements to give them whatever they need, to serve me and to love me and to come to me. Anything good they have, I'll keep it with them, preserve it. Yoga shimam vahamyam. I carry vaham. I personally carry on my back their food or anything.